Talking about the Dungeons and Dragons movies?
No.
Or the movies they mentioned.
No, those are Lord of the Rings. That is the D&D movie.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well,
I think there was a D&D movie like 20 years ago that was utter shit.
There's that one with
Jeremy Irons was in it.
The Beholder was in it. It wasn't D&D, but it was like an adjacent thing. The Baldur's Gate film isn't Baldur's Gate like Wizards of the Coast adjacent?
Wait, there's a movie of Baldur's Gate?
There's a Beholder in the film, and it's like the big bad guys, like they have to fight this one-eyed like laser firing monster.
There's no film. That's Baldur's Gate 3 trailer.
Yeah, did I?
That's a video game.
Did I get high and think that the trailer was a whole full movie?
Yeah, I know. There's a Dungeons and Dragons movie. It was released in 2000. It stars Jeremy Irons and one of the Wayans brothers. I think it might have been Merlin. But yeah, it is utter trash. Like, it basically looks like Xena the Warrior Princess kind of movie, except like dragged out into 2 hours, and that takes itself way too seriously. Because like Xena understood what it was. It was like low budget, like fantasy schlock. This thing was really trying to be like a Lord of the Rings kind of movie.
I think we can all agree though that Star Wars is the worst of nerd culture. Well, we're kind of being a little bit broad with nerd culture. Also, shout out to Dune.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that new Dune movie looks really good.
Dune's one of my favorite books, and I read it as a young lad. But anyway, I wanted to introduce our first theory term, maybe, because this is a theory podcast after all. No one's coming here for our reviews of Star Wars, I don't think. But anyway,
not yet.
I don't know if like we're talking about culture industry generally, which is of course a critical theory term. But when you were talking about this whole hipster, I don't know, the collection of affects, the collection of like styles and interests, I was thinking of Jameson's term pastiche, which is like you create this unique idiosyncratic style and have like a mask basically. And his critique of pastiche is that it has no political effectivity. And I don't know. I was wondering, just throw it to you guys, if you thought, what is the cultural acceptance or embracing of nerds and all these styles, and now it's cool to, I don't know, watch anime or be a super fan of the Marvel universe. But it's also extremely politically indifferent.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly what you see happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And actually, I wrote a piece where I was talking about how it is that Jameson's idea of pastiche applies to them quite brilliantly, right?
Oh, did you?
I say this as a fan of the movies, by the way.
Where is that published?
Right? Marianne West. Oh, nice. But, you know, long story short, I mean, what you see happening there is essentially a huge number of previously sacred images and subjects that are kind of reassembled into this bricolage of action and affect, but entirely dissociated from the kind of sacred traditions and practices with which those symbols and subjects were once associated.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, of course. I mean, think about something like the Norse gods, right? You know, once upon a time, you know, Thor was somebody who literally the fiercest warriors in Northern Europe worshipped, right, as the god of thunder, who literally controlled the cosmos around him and was destined to die in Ragnarok. You know, now Ragnarok is a film where, you know, Carr, like Thor, banters around about, you know, the giant anus that's going to suck him into a new dimension and, you know, cracks lightning on screen. Along with the talking raccoon and a bunch of other characters, right? And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with this, Qua Jameson. I think sometimes he's a little bit too reactionary, ironically enough, in his approach to pastiche. But there definitely is this kind of desacralization that takes place with his character, right? If you think about what the Norse gods once represented, right? And the same is true of a lot of the kind of Christian symbology that you see in comic book movies. I mean, you know, the last two Superman films both kind of presented the idea of Superman as a Christ-type figure, right? Laying down his life or making great sacrifices in order to save the world. And if you think about the kind of overdeterminacy of the kind of symbolic association being made there, ironic, especially when you consider that the idea of the Superman was originally a Nietzschean one, right? It really testifies to something odd about our culture.